My next guest is the Interim First Nations Aged Care Commissioner, Andrea Kelly. A proud Warramungu and Larrakia woman, she has just commenced a role on 8th of January 2024 and has been undertaking consultations in the Kimberley to hear directly from First Nations older people, families, carers, communities and providers about their experiences accessing and engaging in the aged care system and any changes they think the system should be made in the future and if they think that there should be a permanent First Nations Aged Care Commissioner. Thanks for joining us on Wonky Radio.
Thank you, Andrea, and thanks for having me.
Today you were in town to consult with stakeholders about aged care. How did your role come about?
So the First Nations Interim Commissioner came about through the Royal Commission into Aged Care. It was a recommendation by the Commission that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people weren't accessing aged care, and that the aged care that was available wasn't culturally safe. So this was one of the many recommendations that the Royal Commission made to ensure that not only access to aged care for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but certainly that the care that they receive is culturally appropriate and culturally safe.
Yeah, a lot of people, older people, worry about aged care. Will the work you're doing hopefully address some of those worries?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been around the country. I've been to many parts of the country talking to older First Nations people, to elders, just about what they see as the barriers and why they can't access aged care. And many of them have told me it is because it's not culturally appropriate, it's not culturally safe. People are waiting a long time to access aged care. Traditionally, we would look after our people at home. And that's what I'm hearing also, that a lot of First Nations people really want to stay at home and be cared for at home. So through the work I'm doing, reporting back to government around the barriers, but we've got an opportunity at the moment as well because of the aged care reforms and the changes to the Aged Care Act to really highlight the needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as they age, but as they require more and more support.
So just for listeners, what age do Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people become eligible for aged care in Australia now?
So the eligibility age for Aboriginal people in the country is 50. And that's another thing I'm finding as I go around the country is a lot of our people don't know that. So just being able to communicate those messages has been really important.
So what are the main questions you're asking when you're meeting people on this trip?
So the main questions I've been asking people really is, do they access aged care? And what are some of the barriers? What are some of the things that they find challenging? But also, what are some of the things that would make their life, their ageing, much better for them? So they're probably the key questions. But as I've gone around the country as well, I've seen lots of really good examples of where aged care does work. And it's not just about residential. It's around that support at home and the support in the community. So just that education, again, which also goes to the age access, really is just about educating people around what is available and what aged care means now for our people.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of people, it may be well known that Aboriginal people have a lower life expectancy, but I guess to a lot of people, 50 still seems really young. So they go, well, that I wouldn't be eligible. I'm only 50. It's like younger than the pension age.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the key messages we're saying to people, even if you are, over 50 and you don't think you're eligible, you don't think you need aged care yet, still investigate it, still talk to people about it because you never know when you'll need it. But you're absolutely right. And, while we're we're living longer, but we're still not living as long as the broader population. But it is good to see that we are living longer, so making sure that we have those supports in place.
So what are some of the main themes that you found so far?
So some of the themes have been around, you know, people really wanting to stay at home. From a provider perspective, because I have been talking with providers as well, yeah. The flexibility in funding to be able to actually deliver the individual centred care that people need, and particularly in their communities. Yeah. So access is a big thing. Funding, workforce is a really, really big issue, particularly in regional and remote areas.
Yeah.
Just having that workforce to support our old people and, you know, our elders.
So with the workforce, is that accommodation in rural and remote areas?
Yeah, you know, from nursing to, you know, support staff, how do we train our young ones to be interested in working in aged care? And again, as I said, you know, it's broader than just residential and looking after our old people in a you know, what we would call in the old days a nursing home.
Yeah.
And it's how do we support them to stay at home longer? How do we support them to stay in the community and still be part of the community? So really thinking about what does a workforce look like that can support that?
So once you've completed or leave the valley today, what's going to happen to the feedback that you get during these consultations?
So my intention is to do a report to government and work closely with the Department of Health and Aged Care around what people have been telling me, what I've been listening to as I've gone right around the country. These are the voices of community, of our elders and our old people. This is not Andrea Kelly's voice. You know, I'm really reflecting what people are telling me. So I'll do a report to government, and you know, I'm really confident that we will see a shift in the way that not only First Nations people are accessing aged care, but what that care will look like now and into the future.
How did you've been in the public service for 30 years. How did you get picked for this role?
I think the department held a competitive process, and through that process, I've worked in the community sector. You know, as you mentioned, I'm a Wurrumbungu Larrakia woman from Northern Territory. Spent most of my career working in the Australian Public Service in the Northern Territory in remote regional communities. I'm an Alice Springs girl. Yeah. I live in Canberra now. So I think my experience, you know, over the years, my ability to engage with communities has you know, really put me in a good place. I was critical in the establishment of the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme. And, you know, just the passion and the community passion for our elders, I think, you know, put me in the front for this role.
So I did hear that you're pretty keen for it to be like a supportive process during all these consultations, even in Fitzroy. That probably makes sense, you know, coming from that redress process, just because even though it's, you know, aged care, like you said, it's the old nursing home, mm-hmm. you know, there can be that fear because it's still really like an institution.
Yeah.
We just before we came on air, we talked about the, you know, COVID times and the stories that came out of aged care, not so much First Nations, but in other aged care services, you know, do you just keep in mind those stories and try to, you know, listen like patient with compassion?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And, you know, our elders, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we really walk in their footpath. You know, they're the ones who've worked hard. They're the ones who've set us up for who we are today. And, you know, so I guess, you know, I always think I'm my grandparents' legacy. And, you know, that ability to sit and listen and hear the voices of community is so critical, and even more so in this process, because we know we don't want our old people to spend their last years either away from home, away from their families, and without the care that, you know, they're used to having. So, and, you know, even that cultural aspect, all of those things, staying connected to their country, to their language, you know, to their culture is really, really important. So, yeah, I take every day as I'm so grateful that I was selected to take this role. And I've met some amazing, beautiful elders as I've gone around the country. And as I write the report for government, they're the ones I think of. They're the ones whose voices are really reflected.
So if listeners are not attending today's meeting, are there any other ways they can get in touch or share their story, you know, to have an input into this report?
Yeah, look, there is, and I know often it's not, you know, for a lot of communities it's not easy, but what I've said to people is, you know, if you want to write me a letter, if you want to ring our phone number, if it's not me, it'll be one of my staff, can always talk to you, capture, you know, anything that you want to share with me. I'm also saying to providers and peak bodies, if there are reports that they want to share with me. I'm not asking people to do new work.
Yeah.
If there's things people want to share with me, share it. You know, one good thing we've had, people recording. Some kids have recorded their elders talking and they've sent it to us. So whatever works for people, I'm more than happy to, you know, to receive. And Yeah,
and we'll put up the links as well. I really liked, actually, when I was looking through, it talked about you can send like a handwritten letter, that's okay.
Yeah.
And it was really supportive of the multiple ways you can send a message. So,
yeah. And I know, you know, for a lot of our old people too, you know, that, you know, writing might not be a, you know, something that they will do, but I think sometimes just being able to write a few words is so, so important.
Yeah, like, I was, you know, so as the older people get older, you know, and the elders, you know, the ones who do the ceremonies or they do the services, you know, you're sort of grateful for every moment that you get with them, and even the observing them, like we have elders here, like who walk over the sandbanks to go fishing or sit at the river every afternoon, and you just go, like, if that was how they spent their last days, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really good, all the work you're doing, and I think it is good, maybe that mindset, if, you know, they nursing home or residential isn't needed, what are the ways that, you know, someone's, if they really love the river or they really love going out bush, that can be extended for as long as possible.
Yeah, that's right. And hopefully with the reforms to aged care, that we'll see a lot more of that.
No worries. Thank you for coming into Wonky Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Andrea Myers talking to Andrea Kelly, Interim First Nations Aged Care Commissioner, about the aged care reforms and about her consultation across the Kimberley. This was recorded 17th of June 2024. You're listening to Wonky Radio.